Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing okay today. Well, I hope you're doing more than okay today. I hope you're doing really well. So happy to be here with all of you. And today is the first of a two-part training on moving in the rhythm, with the rhythm of time, or with the flow of time. We've got two calls on this issue and this topic of time. I used to do it in one call, but all of my time issues showed up in there because it was too much packed into one call. And so I've turned it into two calls so that we have spaciousness and time to be able to go really deep, because it is such an important topic. Today, we're going to be looking at a lot of inner pieces in relationship with time. And then our next call, we'll also be looking at inner pieces, but we'll also be going into some of the more outer techniques as well that you can use with time. There's going to be, all the calls, as you guys know, I always ask for shares as we move throughout. This one in particular, I really want to encourage you to participate. Let's make it interactive. A lot can come through in this exploration. So before we dive in, two housekeeping pieces. The first is, as we are starting to near the end of this training, which all at the same time, it's like, it's long, it's a long training, it's 10 months, but also I can't believe it. I'm ready for it to end. It went by fast, long and fast, all at the same time. So much life has happened since we've started, right? Like, so much has happened. But I just wanted to remind those of you that are going for certification that I extended the certification, all of the materials, I extended out that date just because of Corona and everything that's been going on in the world. So you do have, I believe we extended it till the end of the year, to finish all of the requirements, but don't leave them to the last minute, right? So because you know how it is. It's like the longer you wait, and then all of a sudden you're coming up against the due dates. So if you still have a lot of coaching partner calls, start to work them in. Make sure you're doing the worksheets. Make sure you're starting to do additional calls. You need to do an additional 18 coaching sessions. I know some of you have been waiting till we get to the end of the program. Some of you are just regularly working with clients, whatever it is, but I just want to remind you to stay on top of that. If you know that the certification, like receiving the certification, is right for you, create a plan so that you can make that happen for yourself. And then when you get certified, you get to go on our website. And we're actually creating a whole new website and putting our practitioner directory up front and center. I'm really excited about that. The other piece that I wanted to mention, you should be getting an email about it today. But a number of you have gotten in touch to say that you don't want Sacred Depths to end, and what's next after this, and it makes my heart so happy that this is, that you're asking about it, whether you asked me or not, and of course I don't want it to end. I just feel so honored to be able to guide and support each of you. And because of that, I have two opportunities for us to be able to move forward, if that's something that you desire. And I'm going to lay all of it out, share all of it in a call next week. It's July 2nd, which is next Thursday at 1 p.m. So you'll get an email about it. Please RSVP. And even if you can't make it live, we'll send you the recording. And in that call, I'll lay out all the different ways that we can continue if you want to, and there'll be opportunity to ask questions and all of that. So it's next Thursday, July 2nd at 1 p.m., and it won't be a very long call. My guess is we'll probably be on the phone about 45 minutes. Okay. So time, moving in rhythm with time. Time is one of the most important issues that can come up when you're working with clients. If time isn't working well for a client, it can have a really big impact. If they're not moving in rhythm with time, that can be an obstacle to their progress on their goals. It can also be an obstacle, not just to outer goals, but to feeling how they want to feel in their lives. And it can also be an obstacle to having the values that they want in their life, values like freedom or spaciousness or happiness or whatever it is. And you may even recognize this in your own life, right? When we're not aligned with time, when we're not moving in flow with time, when we haven't befriended time, when time isn't working for us, it impacts not just what we accomplish, but how we feel. But how we feel, and how sometimes even how we perceive ourselves and how we show up in the world. So as a practitioner, if you don't know how to work with time, or if you yourself haven't explored your issues with time, then your clients, then it can be really hard for you to work with your clients, right? I've seen for myself that the more I learn how to move with the flow of time, how to be aligned with time, how to move in rhythm with time, then the easier it is not just to know how to work with my clients and how to lead them, but also the easier it's been to check my own filters around it when working with clients. And what I mean by that is, when I was less evolved in my, for me, and this can show up in so many different ways, I'll just give an example for me. When I was less evolved in my relationship with time, my inner workhorse, if you want to call it, was way out of control. And for me, it was just like get things done and get things, like I was the get it done gal, you know, and trying, it's almost like as if time was running out, right? Get as much done as possible. Well, until I checked those filters, when I would work with a client that, you know, quote unquote, wasn't managing their time that way, wasn't, you know, so super strict with how much they were getting done and all the things, wasn't filling up every moment, right? I perceived that as something that needed a solution when it actually, for some people, wasn't, right? So we want to be able to do our own work around time so that we can become more, I mean, just for our own sake, so we can become more and more evolved. But it will really help us identify beliefs, filters, and biases around time. So let's kind of just start to take a look at that. How do issues with time show up for you? So take a moment and make a list of what's not working or of what you're tolerating because of time. Make a list of what's not working for you or what you're tolerating because of time. So some examples can be you feel like you don't have enough spaciousness in your life. Maybe your self-care practice gets thrown out the window. Maybe for you, some of your issues with time present as constantly showing up late for things or not creating what you want in your work. Maybe for you it shows up as working much later than you would like, not having boundaries around your time. Maybe it shows up for you as feeling angry at others because you work more than you would like, and then you end up blaming others for not having the time. Maybe it shows up as anxiety, right? So how do issues with time show up for you? What's not working? What are you tolerating? How are you feeling because of anything that has to do with time? I'll give you a minute with that. Take another moment, really consider lots of different pieces. Maybe for you, because there's a misalignment around time, you end up going to bed late, and then you can't wake up on time. Maybe for you, you never end up getting to marketing and outreach, because you're spending so much time on correspondence with clients. Maybe for you, you feel trapped by time, like a prisoner. Maybe because you feel like you don't have enough time, it feels like a pressure cooker, and then you end up taking it out on your children or your partner or a friend. And then the next question, if you're working with clients, or you can even just, if not, you can just think about people in your life that you're close with, how do issues with time show up for your clients? Pick a couple people, whether it's a client or someone in your life. Because, one of the reasons why I'm asking about this is because time impacts us in ways that we don't even realize, and in ways where maybe at first we don't even think it has anything to do with how we're working with time and experiencing time and navigating time. But oftentimes, time has something to do with it. So how does issues with time show up for your clients, or if you're not working with clients, with loved ones, people that you know? Or if you're working in an office with your boss or your colleagues, or it's good to start to just see and understand how pervasive it is. All right, let's pause here just for a minute or two. I'd love to hear just briefly from a couple of you what's coming up for you. What are you seeing? It's good to get even some more examples of how time can impact. So it's star two to raise your hand. April.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
What came up right away for me is that since COVID started, I'm without urgency, but then I get behind with things that, like, need to get finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how does that impact you?
Well, then I'm trying to catch up, and or I get feelings of overwhelm and obligated, and then I'm like resistant to obligation, so then I procrastinate and I really don't want to do it. So, you know, time has shifted, a big shift since COVID. I understand working within a rhythm of time, however, it's shifted so much from the doing and blocking time and self-care time, work time, getting the things complete you really need to well, I don't have to be in a hurry, so when I get to it, I'm going to get to it. And trying to get back into the movement of more of a rhythm that can help me complete the things I need to complete.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just shifted a lot.
Yeah. So I love that you're seeing this. And I'm also just thinking for you, April, about your sloth and how this was actually a beautiful opportunity for you to – like really experiment with your inner sloth. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, at a retreat that April came to, we found out that she has an inner sloth that she needs to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if it lands, I just want to say, like, I feel like you went from the one pole to the other pole, you know, like the hyper and the hypo of the shadow. But which is good, right, because sometimes we need to really explore the other side of the shadow. And it feels like COVID gave you that opportunity, and now you're ready to find the healthy, like, the healthy place with it.
That sounds very true. So I was anxious to listen in on this call for sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So I actually think this is progress, that you had no sense of urgency. Again, like, don't want to be at that extreme forever, but that's progress. Like, I think that's evolution for you.
Mm. Trying it on for size, for sure. Then I go to the office, and I'm like, gosh, I can't move any faster than this, it feels like. It's just going to have to be done in what I now call real time.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Thank you for sharing. Morgan.
Hello. Am I on?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. This is definitely a crucial topic for me as I have been growing and evolving and learning how to manage my time. And, you know, I go through chapters where I'm better at it than others, and always try to figure out, okay, well, I'm doing well now because I'm more or less in love with what I'm tackling. What's not working for me often is trying to manage my personal energy, and then reaching points of exhaustion, or I would say I have maybe an inner sloth and motivation and question, spending a lot of time questioning, like, where did that energy go? Why am I not feeling more motivated? Is this a physical reaction? Is this an emotional reaction? So that's been part of what's not working. And also, therefore, I often latch on to other people's schedules and needs because it keeps me more structured and accountable than my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that has kept me in a really strong pattern that, and on one hand, works for me, you know, showing up for a job and showing up for other people, showing up for a team, and showing up for friends gets me out of my shell and my own, like, stuckness. But then it also becomes, like, more of a tolerance because I'm giving more to other people. Yeah, it's not mine.
Yeah.
So that's something I tolerate. And then I also am recognizing where I'm maybe getting stuck in my own resistance with feeling intimidated or feeling like, well, I don't have enough time to do that, so I'm going to put it off till tomorrow. Okay, well, today I don't have enough time to do that, so I'm going to keep putting it off and thinking.
So it's almost like you're using time as a great excuse to add more evidence to whatever the fears are behind the resistance.
Yeah, and I talk it up to wanting it to be the quality time. Like, I have time, but it won't be the same quality as if I wait and give it more of my attention and more time. So I'm going to put it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. I'm glad you're seeing each of these pieces. Between this week and next week, we're going to move through a lot of them. And what also, you know, I'm happy the pieces that you're mentioning, we can all see, this is something I wanted to say about time, is like time, the issue of time always, not always, but a lot of the time, it's going to it's going to impact or be impacted by all of the other things that we've already looked at in this program, whether it's self-sabotage or whether it's fear or whether it's perfectionism or whatever it is like time is this thing that can kind of metamorphosize and become crutches for a lot of those things and excuses for those things. Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chameleon. That's the word I was looking for. It can be a chameleon. Awesome. Thank you. All right. I'll take one more share, and then we're going to go deeper. Christine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. For me, sorry, there's an echo. I'm having a really hard time hearing.
You know, your name is coming up a lot on the, it's like almost like you're entered in 10 times on the log. It might be something with your computer dial-in. I'm wondering if you should kind of get off and come back on, Christine.
Okay, that's
okay,
what I'll
do. So I'm going to keep on going, but raise your hand later and we'll swing back around. Okay.
Okay,
great. Okay. So let's go a little bit deeper and let's really look, let's get your relationship with time. Because time is something that we all have a relationship with. If you or your clients struggle with time, we want to look at the inner piece in order to also institute any outer tools around time. And again, next week we'll look at outer tools, but the inner exploration is really important because, again, everybody has a relationship with time. Some people have a good relationship with time, but by and large, and part of this has to do with modern culture and modern society, most people in one way or another and to different degrees have misaligned relationship with time. And having a misaligned relationship with time can really impact us because how we experience time is how we experience our life. You know, it's so obvious, but I think it's also really powerful. I'm going to say it again. How we experience time and what our relationship with time is how we experience our life and our relationship with our life. How we spend time is how we spend our life. To me, that's profound. And how we experience time and how we spend our time has everything to do with what we believe about time. So some of you have already gotten into this, but I'm going to ask this question, see if you can go a little bit deeper. What's your relationship with time? We all have a relationship. What's your relationship with time? Take a moment with that. Is time like a good friend that you get along easily with? Is that your relationship? Is time the enemy that you're always fighting with or struggling against or trying to outsmart? Do you feel like the victim of time? What's your relationship with time? All right, let's take that a step further. Often, our beliefs about the universe or our own deserving or authority figures gets projected onto what we believe about time and how we feel about time. I'm going to say that again so that you can kind of take in the concept, and then I'm going to give you some examples. And remember, like I said, you know, we're in the section of the program where it's almost like, you know, bonus topics and almost us in a way like spiritual wisdom, right? So think about this for a moment. Oftentimes, our beliefs about either the universe or God, you know, whatever, however you want to define the universe, or our own deserving or authority figures gets projected onto what we believe about time and how we feel about time. So here are some examples. If we feel that time is, you know, we have the belief time is in control of me, chances are that that idea has gotten projected because we feel like an authority figure has, in our life, has control of us, or the universe, or God, or whatever it is. Or if we hold a belief that there is never enough time, chances are it's related to a belief about the universe or our own deserving, right? Like we're never going to get enough. Like it's a scarcity, right? If we feel scarcity of time, we probably feel like there's another figure that, you know, denying us other things. If you have a feeling that time isn't on your side, chances are there's an authority figure in your life that you feel isn't on your side, or the universe just isn't on your side. Or it's about your own deserving, right? You don't deserve to have time on your side. If you have a belief that others have more, always have more time than you do, chances are there's a belief somewhere, either that the universe grants things to others that it doesn't grant to you, or there's something about how you feel about yourself in that, right? Others have more time than me. I don't deserve. So what are some things that you believe about time? What are some things that you recognize you believe about time? I can't relax because there's too much to do. I'll never be able to catch up. Time goes by too quickly. Time is in control of me. It's easy to waste time. What are some things that you believe about time? I have too much time, so much that I don't know what to do with it. So hopefully you have at least one or two beliefs about time that you can identify. Next question. Whatever those beliefs are, they may or may not, but let's see, how do they relate to your beliefs about the universe, God, authority figures, or your own deserving, or like your value and your deserving? Oftentimes, if there are issues around self-value, there are also issues around time, right? So, as I said before, often beliefs about the universe, authority figures, our own deserving or value get projected onto what we believe about time, how we feel about time. So whatever you identified as your beliefs, how does that relate? Take another moment with that.
The moderator has left the conference.
Oh my gosh, by mistake I hung up and I was talking and I didn't realize that I was on the line. I wasn't on the line. So I was asking, what would you like to believe about time, right? So now that you've hopefully some important pieces are coming through around the beliefs that you've been operating under when it comes to time, if you could have a great relationship with time, like really aligned relationship, what would you believe? What would you like to believe about time? Even if you don't believe it, tap into your desire. What do you really want? Like what do you want to believe about time? What would make a difference for you? And then whatever that is, whatever it is that you would like to believe about time, what would change for you? Like, get detailed for a moment. What would change for you in your life and in your work if you deeply believed whatever the new belief is? All right, let's pause here. I'd love to hear what's coming through. Star two, what are you seeing? Anne.
So it was interesting. I didn't expect to see myself writing that I relate to time like it's a two-faced friend. Like it says, don't worry, everything is unfolding in divine time, you got this, and then turns around and goes, ha-ha, too late, not enough time, you're never going to get it all done, you're screwed, stress, 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 move, move, move. That actually surprised me. So as a challenge, like, do I really think that the universe, that the divine, is that vindictive? And no. But then that uncovered, like, I only think I get what I deserve if what I'm getting is suffering. But when I get good stuff, like, that's luck or chance or grace or I didn't earn that. Like, I only earn the bad stuff somehow. And so the new belief I would like to have is I'd like to believe there's more than enough time for everything that I want and need to accomplish, and that time can be bent and stretched accordingly when that's needed, and then that, and to really, like, feel in my bones that that divine flow of time will just unfold the way that it needs to be, and there's nothing I need to do to move that along, just look for the next thing to attend to. And if I could do that, God, I could be productive without being stressed. I would have plenty of time for everything that I want and need to do. I could relax knowing that life is unfolding the way that it should, when it should, that the next step will always be revealed with plenty of time to execute it. And, you know, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
This I wouldn't feel like the rug keeps getting pulled out from under me.
Yeah. Good. I can tell this really moved you. And a lot is stirring. And I'm going to make a reflection. And this may not, I may not be on target here, so let me know. My sense, Anne, is that through your life, your understanding of the divine has evolved so much from when you were little or what you were first taught or whatever it is, but it's almost like your understanding of time hasn't evolved with that. So it almost feels like that relationship with time is based on like the old understanding of the divine, and what's the opportunity that's opening up now is to actually apply your evolved understanding of the divine to your relationship with time.
That resonates pretty strongly.
Good.
So, and I think
I just got chills when I said that.
Yeah, and I think there's some kind of I have like an image but not words, some reciprocal growth with that too, that there's some places where there are still, you know, childhood understandings of the divine, that the place, like there's places with both that evolved and places with both that didn't, but they aren't the same places. They didn't co-evolve.
A great homework assignment would be to chart this out.
Yeah.
And really identify. Well, on both sides, I think so much would come through there for you. Good.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. The fall. Take a couple more. I think this is Susan, but I'm not 100% sure. 2208, is that you?
It's Chance.
Oh, hi, Chance.
Hi. I was thinking that I used to feel like time was kind of a drill sergeant, relationship. And, you know, like a couple of years ago, I decided that I needed to leave that relationship. It was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in burnout. And so, but now, my relationship to time has changed completely, and it feels like I'm at a place where it's in short supply in terms of I don't know how much time I have left,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm older now, and there's a sense of just waiting to die a little bit, you know. And the new belief that I would like to have is that we can suspend time and not use it up if we focus on something we love.
Ooh, Chance, I think what you're talking about right now is so important. I'm so glad that you raised your hand on this and that you're bringing this up, because it rings true for me in some of the communications that we've had, where mm-hmm. I've gotten this feeling like exactly what you said, like it's just the end of your life and you're just waiting, you know, you're waiting it out. It's done.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that I didn't call that out sooner. It was like just these little like whispers of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so
mm-hmm.
glad.
Well, it was like the last class we had, I discovered that what it's been is I've been in winter.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
a few years.
And that, yeah. Yeah, and that definitely relates. But there's something
mm-hmm.
about, and you know, our relationship with our age is 100% related. Not 100%, but many times, especially as we get older, I think our relationship with our age is related to our relationship with time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost, and you can tell me because you may not agree with this, but it's almost felt like you also, there's a little bit of a misalignment in your relationship with your age. And I think it hooks in to everything that you're sharing here. And I love the new belief because it feels not only healing, but it feels like it's an opening to give you so much more opportunity than what you've been giving yourself lately.
Yeah, it was a little surprising to me to write that, you know.
Yeah,
that, and it's only been like in the last 3 weeks, I feel like I've turned a corner somewhere, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Good. So if if it resonates, I'd love for you to make time over this week to journal on the new belief, to write more about it. You know, use some of the rewiring of the thought pattern tools to go deeper with this new belief and start to implant it inside of you.
Like what would it look like, or what?
I would just whatever wants to come through. Like, if you can journal on it every day or three times over the week, you know, what does this new belief mean? What would it look like? How does it feel? You keep it top of mind and keep on coming back to it, so that you, you have more access to it and it doesn't just gather dust after this call.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Awesome. Great. I think this is you, Christine. You must have called in on another number. Is that you?
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
That is you.
That is me. Yeah, I don't know what was happening on the computer today. Okay, this is another big class for me. Scary. I started noticing, as we're going through the beliefs about time, the connection between my relationship with time and my relationship with money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where time is like, you know, that I'm not very good at handling my time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very good at handling money, and that comes like making the most of it. And it then kind of popped into my head that, like, it just feels really immature. And I keep having these memories of my mother, who's a very she's a very fire energy goal, you know, type, you know, triple A personality, right? Like, it's always about, you know, go. You know, you work first and then you play. And as a child, and even as me now, my natural energy, my connection with spirit, with the world, with everything, is more flowing, and it's more about being and not doing. And so I feel like I've, because of my mother instilling in me that my way of being in time, right, and this translated over into finances, that was wrong. Right?
Yeah.
That masculine, it's the masculine over the feminine, that was wrong, that I am still now at 55 in this constant conflict with my mother over, you know, no, I'm going to do it my way, but you know, but no, I got to do it your way, but no, I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
And then I don't get anything done, which just confirms that I'm not good at handling time. Does that make sense?
100%. There's a couple of pieces here. I'm just going to pull at a couple real quick. But one is, I would love for you, Christine, to do some journaling. I'd like for you to write a letter to your mother. Is she still alive?
Mm-hmm.
This is not a letter that you're going to send to her.
No,
I want in this letter, I hear the emotions coming through already. I want you to share with her the impact of what this belief that she's projected onto you has had on your life. I want you to write in detail the weight of it on you, the burden that you've carried for her because of this belief,
mm-hmm.
and then I want you to give it back to her.
Okay.
How does that feel for you?
Yeah, it feels necessary. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, the emotion is confirmation that it needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm going to coach I think the emotion is good. I want whatever's coming through. I just want it to come through because I think you're at a tipping point here.
Yeah.
With this.
Hi. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm going to let you sit with that.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing. All right, I'm going to take one more share for now. Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi.
This is all really good stuff. This is something that I've been working with for a while. Like, mm-hmm. I'm aware of these things, but I'm also aware that, like, it's not resolved. That, you know, it's similar to some things that other people have said around belief that there is not enough time to get it all done, that there's too much to do, that I never get to do what I want with my time. Mm-hmm. And a big one is that time that's not productive is wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And I can really see like expanding that out, like a belief about scarcity in general, that I see that reflected in a lot of different places in my life. And so, you know, this idea that there's not enough time, so I have to pack as much in, especially now with quarantine and the kid being home more, coupled with this belief that I don't deserve to relax until I have worked, quote unquote, enough. So the deserving piece is sort of like a new thing for me of like, oh, if I'm not productive, I'm not deserving.
Yeah, you don't deserve the whatever the comes after the it's more than one thing.
Yeah, and it's like this double whammy of like, okay, I have to work enough so that I can relax, but that never actually comes because there's too much to do and not enough time to do it in.
Right.
Yeah, and what I would like to be believing instead, which I've been trying to do for a while now, is to believe that there is enough time and that, you know, my self-worth is not dependent on my productivity.
So you said you've been trying to believe this for a while.
Yeah.
What would you need to believe in order to believe this?
That's a good question. You know, I have a sign right up on my bulletin board that says, literally, you are worth so much more than your productivity. And so I look at that every day. And it helps, but like, yeah, I don't think I believe it on the deeper level. And so what would I need to believe that? I don't know.
Here's an assignment for you. I want you to do some writing and define for yourself what worth or worthiness means.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know exactly why this is coming through, but I feel like this is going to go along with it and click together something for you.
Mm-hmm.
After you do that, Stephanie, I want you to make a list of what your values are.
Mm-hmm.
What's just even starting to click for you as I ask these questions?
Yeah, it's just this really interesting, you know, in Chinese medicine, one of the phases is the metal phase,
mm-hmm.
Which is all about value.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the dual meaning of that, where like, you know, this is the realm of money, right?
Yeah.
The metal coins and whatnot, but it's also the place of like distilling things down to like what's most important to you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like in our culture and like the way I was taught, like those two things get conflated so much, like money is value. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I feel like this would be really good to look at because my values are not necessarily related to my financial you know, wealth or, you know, there's so much more
worth
looking into.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Let's see what wants to come from that homework. Good. Okay. We still have a lot to do today. So I'm going to lower hands for now and let's keep on going. So hopefully at this point, I've got buy-in from all of you that it's not just the outer tools, you know, and there's so many outer tools around time, you know, scheduling and blueprinting, like all different things. And I think they're very valuable. We're going to look at those next week for sure. But hopefully I've got buy-in from you that at this point that those tools are only as good as your relationship with time. And just, I just want to make sure, because I don't think I said this earlier, as with everything that we've looked at in this program and everything in life, we are not going for perfection here. I have miles and miles to go in my relationship with time. I am constantly, like, it is a journey. It is an evolution. We don't need to be perfect in general, you know, for ourselves around this, and we don't need to be perfect around this for our clients, but we do need to be aware of it and working on it. So I want to spend the rest of our time today looking at tools for working with time on an inner level. And again, it's not a once and done. Persistent and consistent work, whether it's with ourselves or even with our clients, right? We're not going to just address it once and then it's going to be a shift, a total and complete and utter magical shift, right? It's over time because especially with time, as hopefully as you're starting to see, it's so deeply, our relationship with it, our beliefs around time, how we experience time are so deeply embedded in our thinking patterns, in our sense of self, in our orientation to life, in what we think is expected of us, right? So we just want to work through piece by piece. All right, so when we're working with clients, here are some things to be considering. Number one, like we've been looking at today, awareness and belief work, right? So just bringing some of these beliefs forward, right? Even if a client isn't saying the word time, right? But you're in a session and they're saying, like, I don't have enough time for this and I don't have enough, or I guess they are saying the word time, right? But they're not saying we need to look at time, right? To start just for you first as the practitioner to start to recognize that an exploration of time could be valuable and to bring forward, create awareness around some of the things that we've looked at here so far today that, you know, when we have issues with not getting this done or blah, blah, you know, whatever the thing is, how it is related to our relationship with time, and then to support the client to start to become aware of their beliefs around time and how those beliefs impact them. And then you can do a rewiring process with the beliefs, or the beliefs may lead you to then a wheel, getting off the wheel of self-sabotage, or it may lead you to a befriend your fear process, right? So again, this is an art, not a science, and you've got lots of tools that you can use. To create the awareness, you can start by asking some of the journaling questions that I asked today, right? What's not working for you when it comes to time? What are you tolerating because of time? Or what's your relationship with time? Or what do you believe about time? You know, and again, connecting patterns. If you're working with a client, you've been working with them for a while, and you know that they had a parent that acted X, Y, and Z, and as this client is talking about their relationship with time, you see that connection to the relationship with the authority figure, create awareness around it, right? In one of the creating awareness tools that you want to use, you know, that we looked at. Now, here's just one thing I want to point out as you support clients to be aware of their relationship with time. Sometimes, not always, but every now and again, a client can have massive resistance when you start to poke at beliefs about time. And this is because, as we spoke about, our beliefs about time are at the core of either our beliefs about ourselves or God, divine spirit, or parents, authority figures, right? So it can bring up a lot of resistance if you're going to start to poke at it. This is one of those places where a client might really want to cling to the beliefs and like really fight you on it, you know, like, no, time is in control of me, or there really isn't enough time. Like, I want to look at that because there just isn't enough time. I mean, I know I've been there too, right? So I'm just pointing it out that this it can be a place of resistance, and it might be a place where you want to go into one of the resistance archetypes. When a client says there's no flexibility or there's nothing that can change, you want to be thoughtful and aware. Now, of course, always with checking your filters and checking your privileges, right? So if you are someone that, for example, just because of a certain economic situation that you're in or that you were born into, doesn't have to do all the cleaning at home or the chore, you know, all the things, you're naturally going to have some more of the resource of time available to you than somebody that doesn't have that privilege, right? Or if you have children and you have a partner, you may have more of a resource of time than somebody that doesn't have that privilege, right? So first, always, as we keep on coming back to, check your filters. But once you do, you still may see that there's a clinging on to old beliefs that can be changed. Okay, so that's one thing. Create awareness and doing some of the belief work. Another tool to use when it comes to supporting a client with time is to support your client to cultivate trust with time. So as I said earlier, time and our spirituality can sometimes be very interconnected, and of course trust, in many times with spirituality, is like a core piece, right? We need to trust time as well. The more that we can be trustful of time, the more we're going to be aligned with it, the more that we're going to be able to use it for our benefit. So one way that you can support a client to cultivate trust with time is to help them make friends with time. So kind of like we've looked at befriend your fear, right? We also want to befriend time. And one way to befriend time is to journal with it, to journal with the entity that is time. Let it have a personality, an energy, and dialogue with it, right? Have your client write to it. Have it write back. If you feel comfortable leading visualizations, you can, on the session itself, hold space for a client to have a dialogue with time via visualization. So one of the things that I'll give you for homework is for you to journal with time as an entity. Another way to make friends with time, which is essentially cultivating trust, you make friends with it, is to support clients to learn how to make requests of time and treat time with respect. Make requests of time and treat time with respect. So what does this mean? Well, a friendship is a two-way street, right? This isn't just about time being better to us. This is actually about us respecting time more. What does that mean? So it really means to, you know, to treat time with respect is about being conscious and intentional about how you spend it, about what you're devoting to it. See it as a gift for you to respect. So to bring this to a practical level, as an example, to create get it done time for yourself, whether it's for your work or for your home or with your children or whatever it is, but to make that request of time, treat it with respect, and devote a chunk of time to something. So in some of the programs that I lead, we have get it done days or get it done afternoons where each person comes to the afternoon or the day with something that they really want to get done. Oftentimes it's in their business, but sometimes it's like their closet or, you know, even just like rest or, you know, whatever it is, right? And so number one, we respect time by, you know, putting it aside, right, devoting it to this. Number two, we respect time at the beginning of the get it done day. Everybody sets intentions, like we write down what is it that we want to get done. And then we also, I always ask the question, how do you want to experience time as you get your marketing done or, you know, whatever it is? You know, like, how do you want to relate to time? How do you want to experience it, right? And we have a start time and an end time. There's more that happens in those get it done days. And you can do that with yourself. Right, so I have certain days of the week where I don't have client calls or teaching, and there are days devoted to like development and marketing and that kind of thing. The days that I just kind of like jump right in and go without a plan, without a sacred intention, without just taking a minute or two to get clear on how I want to experience my time during that day, without lighting a candle in devotion like to all of it. Those days are harried, and I may get a lot done. Like, I am a productive person, so, you know, sometimes I am productive on those days, but I don't enjoy that time in the same way that when I respect the time and I make that request. Another way to treat time with respect is to slow down, to support your clients to slow down. That doesn't mean if they've got a lot to do, that doesn't necessarily mean to do less. What I mean is to create more spaciousness throughout the day, to create more spaciousness throughout the day. So I'm going to share with you for homework, a resource sheet that's called Feel Breathe exercise. And the feel, breathe exercise is really easy. The first step is to slow down. Slowing down means consciously stepping out of the fast-paced rhythm that you might be moving in, or whatever the rhythm is that you're moving in, and very consciously into a slower, more easeful, more grounded rhythm. So if you're in front of the computer, take a few moments to walk away from the computer or give yourself a timeout from work or what you're doing, or shut off the TV or close your eyes for a few moments before a meal or before starting your day, right? So step one is just simply making a conscious choice to go inward for a few minutes. Step two is to breathe. Close your eyes, begin to focus on your breath, and just watch the breath as it moves. A couple of inhales and exhales. Step three is to open. As you inhale, see if you can let your body open up a little bit, right? I like to imagine that each cell in my body is actually opening up to receive oxygen and life force. And then step four is to feel. So in this slower, open place where you're simply breathing, just notice how you feel. That's all. No need to change anything. Just become aware and acknowledge how you feel and what you are feeling in your body. This practice doesn't need to be any more than 60 seconds long if you don't want it to be. But what this simple practice does, and I'm sure some of you practice this in one way or another, is it helps you move out of your head and into your body and your heart and your soul by breaking up your patterns, by breaking up where you just simply move on autopilot. And when you do that, and then when you take a moment to feel, like to be in your senses, time opens up. A minute is much longer when you are feeling than when you're just simply thinking, right? And then you can go back to whatever you were doing, but you maybe just bring that feeling a little bit back into it. It may only last 5 minutes, right? But the more that you practice it, the longer it will last. Okay, so cultivating trust with time is about making friends with time, right? You can support clients to make friends by journaling with it as an entity, visualizing and dialoguing with it as an entity, and also making requests of time, like literally asking, saying, time, this is what I want you to do for me in this hour and a half. I want to do this and accomplish this, and then treat time with respect. Okay. Another piece that two more pieces for today. So, again, both having to do with this inner work around time. So the next piece that I want us to look at a little bit, I want to kind of just bring into your awareness, is receiving, the concept of receiving. When we or our clients have trouble receiving, taking in, like literally taking in, then we're going to have trouble with time. Because time isn't something that we do. Time is something that we experience and allow to move through us. So at the outset, receiving, yeah, I know how to receive, right? It might seem easy, but actually in our culture, which is so focused on doing and making and outputting, we have really lost the sacred practice of receiving. For those of you that study yin and yang, you know that oftentimes receiving, it can be labeled more of a feminine practice, right? So that some of that's been lost because our culture is so deeply in its wounded masculine, kind of this out of control doing all the time, right? So if we've got a client that is having some trouble with time, as we take a look at beliefs and this and that, we may see that we want to do receiving work with them to help them be able to literally open up to take in more deeply. Now, I think it was Christine earlier that was saying that she sees that her relationship with time is related to her relationship with money. Well, that was very astute, and it's related. The reason why they are related is because they're both related to receiving. They are both a resource. After our module on time, we look at self-love and self-care. That's the third thing here. So usually, if you've got some issues with time, in one way or another, you've got some issues with money, and in one way or another, you've got some issues with self-care. They, all three are related, and let me know if this doesn't make sense, but all three are related to the ability to receive. Now, the issue that you have might be different with each of them. I'll just briefly share, like, you or your client may feel like you never have enough time, right? So, but the issue may not be that you don't have enough money in your bank account. The issue might be that you're, like, hoarding money, or you're making a lot of money, right? But that's still related to your relationship with time. It's still impacting your time, right? So there's a relationship between time, money, and, again, self-care oftentimes as well. So if you've got a client that you sense could do some looking and exploring and processing through some work with receiving, one of the first things you probably want to take a look at is what they believe about receiving. And some of the most common limiting beliefs about receiving are, if I allow myself to receive, it means that I'm weak, right? It's like a weakness to take things in. Receiving means that I'm unable to do it on my own. That's related to weakness, right? Like, I need to always do it on my own. I can't take. I don't deserve to receive. Right, so some of those are the most common. Take a moment and just note for yourself, what are your beliefs about receiving? What are some of your beliefs about receiving? So supporting a client to see how blocks in receiving are impacting them, supporting a client to see some of their beliefs around receiving. And then again, you've got a whole host of tools that we looked at in the second part of this program: fear, rewiring, self-sabotage, myth of perfection, right? Like any of those can come into play. And then in addition to that, there are a couple of other ways to support a client. And this is, by the way, we could do like a full 3-hour plus workshop on receiving, do a whole 3-day workshop on receiving, right? Not going into all the ins and outs of it, but just to give you some ideas for now. So if you want to go deeper, if you're working with a client or with yourself on receiving, one is to actually practice breathing, right? But with the focus on the inhale, you know, so to really, you know, inhaling is receiving in a way, receiving the life force, receiving oxygen. So spending a couple of moments making a practice of it, of literally the practice of opening your body to receive a deeper inhale, right? To take a deeper inhale, to take in more oxygen, more life force. Another related practice, you could lead your client through this practice, is a kind of a visualization and opening yourself up, opening yourself. And actually, I have a meditation on this, and I'll share it in the group so you can do it or use it or whatever it is. But literally to lead a client to practice opening themselves up, opening their heart, opening their selves, to be able to receive, to be able to take in more. Another practice that over time, you know, along with looking at the beliefs and all of that, that can help a client receive more, help you receive more, is to actively be in gratitude. So what I mean by that is when you get 5 minutes to be able to, you know, do something that you thought you didn't have time to do, pull a tarot card, meditate, or when you get an hour to, you know, see a friend that you didn't, whatever it is, to actively say, I'm so appreciative, right, to yourself or to spirit or whatever it is, or to time, I'm so appreciative of the 5 minutes that I have right now to be able to. So appreciative to take this 20-minute lunch break, this 30-minute lunch break, this 10-minute lunch break, right, to be in appreciation. Thank you for that time to blah, 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 blah. So by actively, by taking a moment and signaling to your brain that you're actively in gratitude for the time, it can help you take in the time more, receive the time more, be with the time more. Okay, speaking of time, I know I'm moving through this stuff quickly. I'm going to share one other thing I want to make sure I share today, and then we'll open up for questions and takeaways and all of that. Last piece for you and your clients, correct the language that you use around time. Language is really important, as I'm sure you know, and how we talk about things the language that we use is based on our beliefs, but then when we utter the words or think the words, it also more deeply embeds the belief, right? It reinforces the belief. So if we want to have different beliefs, we want to start to consciously use different language, right? So, and many of us use language of scarcity and oppression and victimhood when it comes to time. So, for example, instead of I only have an hour to do that, I only have an hour to do that. Or even if it's not with the ugh, right? Just like, even if it's without emotion, I only have an hour to do that. What about I've been gifted with an hour to do that? Or I'm blessed with an hour to do that? What about instead of I get a day for vacation? Now, some of this depends on what your beliefs are and what you need to shift, right? What if, for example, if you've got a belief that, you know, that you don't have the ability to create what you need around time, right? So what if instead of I get a day for vacation, I've created a day for vacation? Or sometimes when we say things like, I'm running out of time, right? Or I lost time on that. We want to be able to watch how we're using language because it can reinforce beliefs. Okay. So take a moment. We've still got more time to look at, things to look at next week. For now, what are one or two big takeaways for you from our call today? What are you really taking for yourself and for your client work? I'd love to hear a couple of shares on that and questions, and please also post in the Facebook group. But before that, just want to share with you your homework. You'll have two sheets. One is that breathe, feel exercise. Play around with that. Play around with your clients with that too, if it's appropriate. And then another pacing, it's called a pacing worksheet. I want you to start tracking your language when it comes to time. Just noticing. If any beliefs came up today, you know, that you want to do some rewiring with, it's a good thing to work on. If you want to cultivate that trust with time, do a dialogue with the entity of time. And for your partner homework, we need to get to next week's call to kind of tie it all together. So if you're meeting with your coaching partner this week, just do a general practice of all and any skills that we've been working on. And then once we get through next week's class, that way you'll be able in your practice to bring together the inner and the outer time pieces. All right, so we have a couple of minutes left. I'd love to hear shares, takeaways, and any questions. Star two. Who is this? 1490.
Oh, it's me.
Hi.
Christine. Yeah, so as always, this is wonderful. Thank you, Joanna. I'm really looking forward. I know I need to do the letter, and I will do that. What I'm looking forward to is after the letter, I'm really wanting to sit and have a dialogue with time itself.
Yeah.
And create a new relationship to sort of like have a council meeting with time.
Yeah.
And all those who are involved with time and myself, and come up with what is my relationship with time.
Yeah.
And with a look at the exactly, right?
Yeah.
Like who I am now in this moment, and you know, what are my responsibilities? What's time's responsibilities? How am I meant to flow through this? And to get really clear on what it is that I want from time.
Yes.
And how I want to be showing up in that relationship with time versus the way I have been showing up, which is just the little girl who's constantly reacting.
Yes. And what I would add to that is, what does time want of you? If it's a true relationship, right? Two-way street.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Looking forward to see what evolves there.
Me too. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Alyssa. Hold on a second here. Here we go, Alyssa.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I realize that my relationship with time, it's not an enemy. I'm not a victim. I neither love it nor hate it. I endure it, that I'm just really good at just being here. And it's kind of like, I don't know, that my I'm very proud of how my ability to be, but it's kind of working against me at this level. And it's also rolled in with the idea of authority, like you can't make me. That thread comes up a lot, like you can't make me. So I have this juvenile reaction of, like, you know, not respecting my time, not respecting it when time opens up. I as you know, I've got these habits of having been a mother for so long that it's like I'm just waiting for the, it's like I'm a fireman waiting for the alarm bell to go off. I can sit there and hang and just be and wait for the next alarm to go off. And I don't know if I'm creating these alarms at this point or, you know. So I really like everything you said about coming into relationship with time and looking at that relationship with time. It's very fascinating to me. And I guess in that way I have become a victim of time, that it's time for me to, like, claim my time for a greater purpose and not just the little things that get done in a day. You know, it's time for me to think big. Think big.
Yeah, and so you know, one piece of homework that, you know, in addition to the others, it, that might be helpful for you, Lisa, is to make a sheet with two columns.
Okay.
And we can put on one side of the column Lisa's little girl reactions to time.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the column, we can put Lisa's adult responses to time.
Right.
And then as things come up, note how the little one inside of you wants to react to the situation.
Right.
And then on the second column, put a corrective of what the adult, how that adult can actually respond to it.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Corrective. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
I know.
Good. 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 Let's see what, what wants to come through.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thinking of all of you, please post takeaways and ideas and questions that come up in the Facebook group as they come up. I am here if there's anything you need, and I'm thinking about each of you, and I'm sending you all a big hug. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.